We believe that all men are created equal
to the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
The greatest generation of Americans fought to free Europe from a monstrous dictator. This was America at her best. Today, the Republican heirs to the greatest generation are siding with a monstrous dictator at war in Europe. Instead of the boys of Pointe du Hoc, we now have the boys of Donald Trump and Mike Johnson. Will we allow these politicians to destroy the legacy of the greatest generation? It's time for action. It's time for Americans to tell their representatives in government to stand up for what's right. Tell the Republicans in Congress to stand up for freedom, not Vladimir Putin. Tell them America stands with Ukraine, not Russia, with freedom, not tyranny. We stand with the boys of Du Hoc, with the greatest generation, with the version of America that is our best, and which can still be a beacon of freedom throughout the world.
Today, we remember the greatest generation and D-Day. You know, we had like the biggest D-Day victory here today since 1944. Do you know how I mean? Okay, so here's what first of all, thank you to anybody who is 96 and above, who is part of the greatest generation. It had so much to do with the way I was raised. It's so hard for me to believe that that was 80 years ago that my dad and his friends, his buddies, guys from Brooklyn, who were called Brooklyn, you know, hey, Brooklyn, that they actually had to beat back fascism by, you know, literally jumping out of airplanes and, invading France. It's like, wow. But it had so much to do with the way a lot of us in this audience, especially, were raised, because our parents literally saw this and raised us to respect not just what they did, which they very rarely talked about because it was so traumatic, but to respect the flag and to respect others and to realize, you know, what discrimination, I don't know, what the hatred, pure hatred and grievance and pointing at somebody or a group of people and saying, you're the reason why this isn't working, or you're the reason why I don't have, or you're the just, you know, literally running on grievance and hatred was such a bad thing. It was such a terrible, terrible thing. And so the way that I was raised made me the person I am today, because you know, the idea that you should always, always be on the fence and looking out for grievance mongers, people who are using whatever disappointments you've had in your life experience as a reason to elevate them into, you know, positions of enormous power over you, is really a mistake. You know, that you should always, you know, check yourself first before you start checking other people. It's just, it's such a huge part of you know, my upbringing, to the point where I actually, you know, I volunteered. I joined the military, but I did it in peacetime, but also aware of how war damages a human being, the trauma of it, that war is designed to create an apocalypse. War is designed to create an apocalyptic geography. Think about it this way, okay? What's the first thing in war planning? What's the first thing that you do to keep your enemy from advancing? Right. You go after their supply line. You go after their food. You go after their water. You go after, and that's right there, should tell you everything you ever wanted to know about why war is so bad for all living things. Why war is something to be avoided at all costs. And why people who either fought in war or were taught about war, who understand what apocalyptic landscapes look like after war, like Aleppo looks that way, Gaza looks that way, Germany looked that way. You know, when I think about like Dresden, which was just gratuitous violence, really it was. It was at the end like, oh yeah, and F the horse he rode in on, we're getting Dresden too, you know, just bombing the crap out of that particular place just because of all of the trauma, just because of all of the years of loss, right? And it was like a big F you on the way out the door. But you know, listen, the idea that war is somehow going to be antiseptic, precision guided, it's just like, that's ridiculous. And people who think that are ridiculous, and they will live to make war. People who know it's not ridiculous and understand what it looks like, smells like, sounds like, because they've been taught about it, shown it, and, you know, whatever, talked to about it, they will do everything to avoid war. Everything. Anything to avoid war. But I was just reading, like, all of the stories of some of these guys, you know, and then all of a sudden the news broke that, you know, we had the biggest victory in America that we've had against fascism since D-Day, since 1944. Steve Bannon, everybody, is going to jail.
Oh!
Victory! Victory! Biggest victory over fascists since 1944. And guess what? Nobody had to die. See, that's what I'm talking about. You don't have to make war to get even with fascists. You don't. You just have to use lawful means. Lawful means. This was a guy who, why is Steve Bannon going? Because he, him and Navarro refused to comply with congressional subpoenas to appear and present documents regarding January 6th. Now, Navarro actually named his operation. It was called the Green Bay Sweep, remember? And he was very busy telling Ari Melber everything about it on Ari Melber's show on the TV there. And, you know, he's in prison now, too, for not complying with a congressional subpoena to provide documents or information about the Green Bay Sweep, which he was very willing to tell the whole world about on MSNBC. He was willing to go on Fox. He was willing to tell anybody except the court. Except Congress, except the jury, except for, you know, the House, you know, January 6th Select Committee, right? Everybody could know except for those people who could do something about it. And Steve Bannon, same. Now, his ridiculous excuse has always been he was relying on advice of counsel, and his lawyer told him he didn't have to, you know, answer a congressional subpoena, that being in contempt of Congress was no big thing. I don't know what his freaking lawyer told him. Schoen, his name is Mr. Schoen. Mr. Schoen was shut down by the judge yesterday. He stood up and he goes, listen, I disagree with the verdict that he needs to go to jail, you know, on the lifting of the stay pending appeal. But the appeals court actually weighed in and said, no, you're going to jail and you have to be there by July 1st. And Sean Stubby goes, look, I'm not going to yell and scream, but I disagree and blah, 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 and here's why. And the judge said, sit down. Just sit down. Be quiet now. I have had enough. Enough. And shut it all down and said, Steve Bannon will go to jail. So, this is great news for everybody, except for people in prison. I feel very bad for you. I think they ought to put, first of all, I can smell Steve Bannon through the TV screen, so I'm really happy about the delousing bit that they do. Really, really happy. And, you know, I really feel bad for any prison guard who has to, you know, inspect that. Oh, God, think about that. Just think about it. Like, what is up there? What has crawled up there and died? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what makes him so mean? What is it? So, you know, I feel very bad for anybody that works in a prison, anybody that is actually adjudicated to serve time in prison. They ought to get, I mean, who would want to share a cell with Steve Bannon? But they should put him in the same cell as, I don't know, Navarro or something like that. So Navarro can show him the ropes. He's got some experience now. He's been there a while. You know what I'm saying? It's just, wow. So the good news is that Steve Bannon, he goes, there is no court in this land that can shut me up. Well, nobody's trying to shut you up. You can talk all you want in prison, which is why I feel bad for other prisoners. Having to listen to this swill, this fascist crap. Project 2025, we're going to take over. You know, him sitting there with all his crosses, bearing false witness. Do you know what I mean? Lying to people, being a fraud, scamming. This isn't even about the stealing of the $1 million from his own viewers, the We Build the Wall thing. No, because he was pardoned for that. He was found guilty of doing that, you know. But he avoided jail that time because his buddy was the president. No longer is his buddy the president. But it should tell you what's in store if his buddy becomes the president.